Chuck Evans, the Executive Director of the Medicus Golf Institute.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us. If you've ever seen a golf infomercial on television, then you're probably familiar with the Medicus Swing Aid. But are you aware that Medicus offers school all over the country as well? The executive director is Chuck Evans, and he's been recognized by Golf Magazine as one of America's top teachers. He's our guest today, and he's promised not to sell us a training aid. Welcome, Chuck.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. This is exciting times for you. You're traveling an awful lot, aren't you?
Oh, you know, I a couple of years ago, I was gone 270 days a year, and I'm trying to cut it back, and I think I've got it down to 269. So.
Oh, my gosh. I hope that if you have kids, they're grown up and out of the way.
Yeah, everybody's gone, so, you know, it's a free play.
Man, that's a lot of travel. And what are you doing with your travel?
Well, you know, we have our destination golf schools at Aliante Golf Course, which is operated by OB Sports out in North Las Vegas. And then we also have Orange County National in Orlando, Florida. And then we do traveling schools at all points in between. So, you know, it keeps me pretty busy and on the road quite a bit.
Wow. And the Medicus Golf Institutes, are these large classes or is it one-on-one instruction? How do you do your training?
Well, our private one-on-one sessions are obviously just that. They're one-on-one. In the golf school format itself, the traveling schools are a 6-to-1 ratio, and the flagship locations, when people come to us, our 3-day golf schools are a 4-to-1 ratio. So we limit them to 12 students, unlike some other schools that I've been with where they'll have 30, 40 people out there. We just deem that we'd rather have smaller classes because that way they can get more attention.
And when you put these classes together, do you try to group your students in a sense? You don't put a 5 handicap with a beginner?
Well, they're just standing next to each other, you know, on the tee line. We give them the same basic information, but of course our instructors work with them individually based upon their skill levels.
Okay.
So, but, you know, what a 30 handicapper might need and a 3 handicapper might be two things totally different, but they need to understand the geometry of how the stroke works. Both of them need to understand that. But how we get them there could be a different manner for each student.
Okay, let's get away from the school for a minute and let's focus on what you just said, the geometry of the swing. Explain that to me.
Well, geometry is nothing but science, and all science is based around geometry, and that's how we teach our golf schools, and that's how we teach golf. And for instance, in a circle, how many flat spots are there in a circle, Fred?
Zero. There's 360
Zero.
Degrees.
That's right. But yet you'll hear a lot of golf instruction talk about creating a flat spot. Well, that's not geometrically correct, and that causes all kinds of problems. So in basic geometry, you have only 3 available what's called planes. You have a horizontal plane, which is a ground, a vertical plane, which would be like a wall, and then you have an infinite number in between those two. And those two are absolutes, but everybody, we play golf on what's called an inclined plane. So our goal is to train the student so that they know what their particular plane is and how they're going to stay on it and how they're going to execute it. And again, our secondary goal is to make them their own teachers by giving them all the information.
And letting them run with it once they have the basic understanding.
Right. You know, they are there under our guidance. And, you know, they get a pretty extensive student manual, which is over 90 pages and has pictures and where they can make notes in regards to their particular swing. You know, they'll make notes on the course management section. They'll make notes in the club fitting section. And then they'll make notes in the middle game section. And so all of those things are designed to give them enough information so that they can then go out and practice efficiently.
I want to talk about a couple of the sections that you discussed right there, the mental game section, and the course management section. But before I do that, I want to talk about the overall philosophy of the Medicus Golf Institute. Why don't you give me that idea first?
Well, I mean, our overall philosophy, I mean, you know, it started out, Medicus started out as a hinge club training aid, and it is the number one selling training aid in the history of golf and has been for the last 16 years.
And probably the number one seen infomercial on the Golf Channel, right?
That's correct.
Is that why your sales are so good? Because you have a lot of punch behind it there.
We do. And when they wanted to add golf schools, you know, they contacted Randy Sparks and myself because we already had golf schools, and they wanted to partner up. So it was a good deal for us because, you know, they had the marketing, they had the business acumen, and we had the product. So since that merging of these two companies, which has been about 17 months ago, we have developed five new training aids based on our curriculum. And so because our curriculum is based on science, they're not just things that golfers can't use that are gimmicks. They actually do the things in the laws of science that we teach in our golf swings.
Like what?
Well, for instance, the dual hinge driver now has two hinges. That's why it's called a dual hinge. And if your sweet spot of the golf club, which is the center of the face, is off plane, it'll break down. If your club shaft is off plane, which is the secondary hinge, it'll break down. So you have to control the face, the head, and the shaft from address to the top and all the way to the finish. And if you do that, you've swung on a particular plane. And if it breaks down, you haven't. Then we've developed a weighted hittable driver called the Maximus, and it does another thing that most golfers don't do. Most golfers, right after impact, you know how they shorten their left arm and get that chicken wing look. And the Maximus, because of the weight in it, right after impact, it actually takes you to getting both arms straight, which is a full extension through the shot. So we had it up at Firestone. We've been testing it all year on tour. We couldn't get it out of VJ's hands. And then Camilo Villegas just absolutely loved it, and we're in negotiations with him as far as helping us promote the product.
Can you get him to stand up before he putts, please?
Oh, yeah. He can hit it a long way.
Yeah, I know, but when he's setting up for his putt or when he's checking his line, that's probably one of the more humorous sights I've seen in golf in quite a while.
Well, it is, and long ago you and I may have had that flexibility, but on my case, it left long ago.
Yeah, I tried to get into that position. Now I'd be flat on my face for quite a while.
Yeah, I could never get up.
Oh. Exactly. Okay, this is a loaded question, but do you really believe that training aids like that work?
Do I believe they work?
Yeah.
Well, I do, and the proof is in all the testing that we do. I'll just give you an example. About a month and a half ago, we were at the TaylorMade Testing Center in Carlsbad, California, and we had, I think it was 22 or 24 players, and their handicap ranged from 30 to 3. And when you went in the TaylorMade Testing Facility, they put this little suit on them that measured everything, their ball speed, their club face angle, their swing plane, their swing path, I mean, just a lot of things. And they have all these digital readouts out on these great big screens. And so we had a camera crew in there, and we were filming all that. After they got done with that, they came out, and we worked with them for 15 minutes with the dual hinge driver. And then they went back inside, and in every case, their ball speed increased, their swing path was at least 75% better, and their swing plane was 75% better, and their club face angles changed dramatically. And that was only after 15 minutes of working with one of the tools.
Okay, so they work with it for 15 minutes. They have improvements in all those different categories. Uh-huh. They go out and play 18 holes, and then they come back to you, and do you test them again? I'd be curious to see after...
segment we didn't. We were just doing a before and after on this segment.
Well, I'd be very curious to see what would happen is if they show some improvement with your product.
Uh-huh.
And then they go and play 18 holes and get into all the trouble they get into, and they get into all the mental problems they get into, and they get into all the, you know, mistakes, and then come back to your testing after taking 100 shots and see where it stands. Is it similar to just after using the product, or is it similar to, you know, do you know what I'm getting with this? Is like it works immediately after you've played with it, but does it work in the long run on
well,
impacting
people,
your game?
The people that have stayed with our products, we sold over 2 million of them. So the people that continue to use these training aids continually get better. Now, there comes a point in every player's game where you've reached your apex, your high point. And for you to go to the next level now requires some different things. It may be swing mechanics. It may be mental game. It may be the correct equipment. And it may be a physical process. So we really look at four parts. We look at the mechanical aspect, the mental aspect, the physical aspect, and then do you have the clubs that will produce what you're trying to do? So all of those four together go, you know, they go hand in hand at our golf schools. And I can tell you that, you know, after doing this for over 35 years, the biggest fault in why players don't improve is they don't really know how to practice and how to work on the thing. And that leads us to one of our other products, which is called an e-data coach. And it's about the size of a Palm Pilot. And as you go out as a player and you play your round of golf, you're going to input every single shot because it's going to ask you, did the ball start straight, right, or left? Did it curve right or left, or did it go straight? Was your divot before the ball, after the ball, or at the ball? It's going to ask you all these different questions. It takes you 9 minutes longer to play a round of golf. Now, at the end of that round, you plug this into your computer and you upload it to our server, and our algorithms read the information that you put up, and it will see what your tendency was in that round of golf. Now, it will then generate specific training videos based on the information that you just uploaded.
Fascinating. Okay. When people purchase one of these training aids, do they need lessons on how to use them properly?
Well, they come with CDs and DVDs on how to use them, but
that doesn't always, you know, I mean, like, because you're not watching or listening to a CD or watching a DVD when you're out on the golf course. You're doing that at home.
Right.
And you're not doing that at the practice range.
What happens when you come to our schools? All of our schools are designed, for instance, if you come to our power school, you get two pieces of equipment that are related to power in the golf swing. You get our hittable weighted driver, and you get what's called a power meter. And this power meter actually clips below the grip of your club shaft, and you input your height and the length of your club, and it measures your swing speed at impact. Hmm. So when you come to a power school, you get these two pieces of equipment. That's included in your school. So you'll be trained not only how to use them, but you'll use them throughout the whole school. And if you come to what's called our geometrics golf school, then the piece of equipment you get is a dual hinge club. So you'll be trained on how to use that club, and you'll use it throughout the school. So all of our schools are designed, and the products are designed around the schools, so that when you come, you have a specific product for that specific school, and we train you how to use it, and you use it the whole school. So you do know how to use it and what to look for when you leave.
Okay. But then again, if someone is just walking into their local Edwin Watts golf shop and they see the Medicus training aid to purchase, it's a great thing. Just go ahead and purchase it and take it home. But do you advise trying to get some training with it?
Well, it's always advisable to have hands-on training.
Yeah.
The other thing they can do, if they are having problems, they can contact us through the website and actually through our forums, and where we answer questions and we have training videos uploaded. So if they have a specific issue, there are videos for every swing malady you can think of.
Hmm.
We've shot over 500 segments for these.
Wow.
I'll give you an example. So let's say you finish your round of golf and your data coach, you upload it, and that particular round, let's say you were hitting the ball a little bit heavy, it started to the right and then it continued to curve to the right. Well, it's going to generate five videos, reasons why you would hit it fat with five cures.
Whoa.
It's going to generate four videos of why the ball starts to the right with four cures, and then two videos for why it curves to the right with two cures. So that's a total of 11 videos just for those three problems.
So why aren't scores going down?
scores aren't going down, like I said, because players, and I think there's a number of reasons. You know, golf courses are getting longer, they're getting tougher. But again, players don't know how to practice. You know, they get in their own way mentally. Even if you have bad mechanics, you know where your golf ball is generally going to go, whether it's a big slice or a big hook or whatever. But until you learn how to control the mental aspect of the game, which is we spend a lot of time in that too, and we use Terry Mumford's clear key, until you can control the mental part of your game, your scores are going to continue to suffer because you're always thinking about, okay, what do I have to do on this shot? And we've got, you know, especially after somebody's taken a lesson, they come back and they've got 500 swing thoughts in their head. It's difficult to even pull the club back with that many swing thoughts. So you have to erase those thoughts, and the way you do that is by using the clear key.
And which is Kerry Mumford, which we've had a conversation with Kerry Mumford. You can get more about that, clearkey.com, or listen to the podcast that we did with Kerry Mumford. So what people don't know how to practice. Give us a tip. Give us a drill on what could improve our practice, please.
Well, and it depends on which segment you're working on, obviously, but what happens in most players is you can go to any driving range in the country, any golf course in the country that has a driving range, and you can look out on the tee, and you can see people just continually bashing golf balls with virtually no thought of what they're doing. They're just hitting golf balls. So they're not really practicing. They're exercising.
Right. And to me, what I find the most humorous is they come out, and the first club that they grab is their driver.
That's right.
I got to believe that's not right.
Yeah, so they grab this driver, you know, and away from the golf ball, their swing looks pretty decent. But as soon as they get to the golf ball, they get this hit mentality. So now all this programming of this nice, beautiful, flowing swing goes into this, you know, looks like they're chopping a log or something, you know. But part of the process is you have to have a specific plan. I mean, driver, wedge, and putter are 78% of all your shots. So if that's 78% of your shots, why do we spend 100% of the time, you know, trying to hit driver or hitting three irons? You know, work with those three clubs. If the average player never changed their full swing at all, but they'd work on their short game, they would drop 5 to 7 shots just by having a better short game.
And that's a lot of strokes.
That's a lot of strokes. And, you know, one of the drills that, well, we have several of them in our short game schools, but you know, I mean, I work with some pretty high-level players.
Give me a for instance of who you work with.
Well, Bobby Clampett, Buddy Alexander, who's a head coach at University of Florida, Hank Kim, Jeff Wood. In fact, Jeff just won a tournament yesterday down in the Florida Mini Tours. And Hank Kim holds a record, the scoring record, in the U.S. Amateur. And it was in the last, I think it was in the last event that Tiger played as an amateur. Hank actually shot the low score of the entire process with a 64. But these players, for instance, you know, they're good athletes, they're good players, but yet their short games were a little bit lacking. So we've done some short game work, and to give you an example, from a 10-foot putt, our players hole 90% of their 10-foot putts.
I'd be very happy with that.
Using some of the training techniques that we've taught them. They hole 75% from 15 feet, and a 30-foot chip shot, they average 33% making them.
Wow.
And these are just some training techniques that we use, and we give them specific things to do. For instance, we use 2x4s as what we call training guides.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of your process is you make a 100 3-foot putts, 100 6-foot putts, and 100 10-foot putts. If you miss one on either one of those sections, you have to start over.
Oh,
do this
boy.
Every single day. Then we have a 10-foot chip shot, and when you hole 50 of them, you're done for the day.
That could be a long day.
Well, you know, the first time both of these players did it, it took them about 5.5 hours. They can now get through it in just under an hour and a half.
Okay, now let's be realistic about golfers. We're not talking about professionals, people wanting to be on the tour. We're talking about us, the guys who hopefully can get out once a week and maybe practice once a week.
Right.
But, you know, we consider that warming up is really our practice.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? Give me a tip. And let's start with that 90% of the putts under 10 feet. Let's really focus on, because if you can make those putts under 10 feet, you're going to lower your scores.
Oh, yeah.
Give me something that I can walk away with in this conversation that's going to help me make those putts.
Here's a couple averages for you. Tiger Woods' average length of his first putt on any given green is 21 feet. The average amateur is 19 feet.
That's shocking.
Now, here's the deal. Tiger's on there in two. The average amateur's on there in three or four.
Okay, so that's not so,
See, they're not hitting green in regulation.
Right.
So when somebody says, well, I'm a bad putter, well, are you a bad putter, or are you just not hitting the ball close enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're just a bad iron player.
Or you just don't know how far you hit each club.
Yeah, well, you got to know how far. A few years ago, I was doing a lecture, and I had this guy up on stage, and I said, now, how far do you hit your 5-iron? He said, well, one time I hit it 185 yards. One time. And I said,
downhill.
Yeah, so I said, if you have a 185-yard shot, then what club are you going to hit? And he said, 5-iron.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, well, you only did that once. They're going to be short, aren't they? So, you know, the key for most amateur golfers is, unless they're willing to spend the time to work on their game, they're really never going to improve.
Well, come on, is golf. Everybody wants to spend the kind of time on their game, but nobody can. This is, you know, golf, we want to. It's life, we can't.
Well, but you know what? You don't have to hit golf balls out on the range to improve.
Go ahead.
Do drills at home in front of a mirror or a sliding glass door, anything you can see your reflection in. And if you don't want to do those drills, you can at least putt on your carpet.
And what is that going to teach me?
Well, you're going to work on your stroke. Because what happens in putting is that typically, if somebody has a 20-foot putt, they're usually not going to hit it 10 feet right or left. They usually hit it 10 feet long or short.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go up and they, you know, putt the next one, they lag it to the hole, they knock the third one past, and they tap in the fourth one. And that's in my new book on how to line up that fifth putt with more confidence every single time.
Is that the name of the book?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, good, because I was ready to promote it for you.
It
sounds like a great title to me. Can I get a copy?
Yeah. But what happens is that players can work on their putting. I mean, you know, they can work on their putting in their hotel room if they're a traveler and they have their golf clubs with them. The key in putting is that you have to keep the face constant. In other words, it doesn't open and close, you know, like a revolving door, but it also doesn't go straight back, straight through. And while that sounds like they are conflicting statements, what really happens is the club face stays square to the arc that it's swinging on. And if players would focus more on the pace of their putt instead of the line, they'd make more putts.
Tell me how.
See, most people focus too much on the line, and then they don't hit it with enough speed.
Right.
Or they hit it with too much speed.
Right. I find that to be...
Once you're there, you just have to focus on, the pace of the putt. Because, you know, if you've got a pretty good idea of your line, just forget the line now. Focus on the pace, because there's an old saying that says, I fell in love with a line. Well, you fell in love with the line, but not the pace.
Right.
And you know, you can have perfect line, but if that ball doesn't have enough speed to get to the hole, there's a 99.9% chance it's not going to go in.
Or if you have too much pace, it's going to go right over the hole and keep going.
But how many times have you seen somebody hit a putt that had too much speed, and as it went over the hole, hit the back of the lip, and it dropped in?
Yeah, but I mean too much that's going to go 10 feet past.
Oh, yeah. So the biggest thing they can focus on is the pace of the putt.
Yeah. I'd rather be 1 foot wide right than 10 feet right over the top.
Oh, yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to grill you here. Every time I ask you for something, some takeaway, you give me a statistic. I want a drill. Give me a good putting drill. Give me a good warm-up drill. Something
here,
Chuck.
The putting drill is just what I just mentioned. You know, you can do it on your carpet. You can do it on the green.
But on the carpet, do you get the feedback that you really want, knowing, you know, what your distance is going to be?
Well, if you set a cup on your carpet,
okay,
and you're putting to this cup, you're going to see whether you're missing it left or right, or whether you're making the putt. And if you continually miss it left or right, that's telling you that you either have a putter face problem, that you're either closing it or opening it too much, or you may have an alignment problem. So the key is just focus on a steady pace of a putt and monitor this club face. Let that face do its job. And if you can make pretty good putts at home on the carpet, then when you get out on the golf course, you know, the mechanics are there. Now it equates into the mental process. Because if you're out on the green, and let's say you're on the 18th green, and you've got a 10-foot putt to win everything, you know, your mind is racing. Oh, I don't want to leave this short. You know, I got to get this to the hole. And you have all these thoughts. And you get up there, and you usually leave it short. Or sometimes you even knock it, you know, past the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go up to that putt, and you turn around, and you just backhand it, and it generally goes in the hole. Because the second one had no thought to it, and the other one had too much thought.
Yeah, how many times have I missed a putt where I'm standing there, it's 3-foot putt, and I'm standing there, and I'm focusing, and I got to get it all right, and I miss it. But if I putt a 20-foot putt, and it goes 3 feet past the hole, I reach over and just tap, you know, hitting it backwards, and it drops right in without even thinking about it.
And that goes back to clear keys, because that second one that you backhanded had no thought. That's called automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And your first putt was on manual,
mm-hmm,
which was trying to will it into the hole.
Okay. Okay. Give me a great course management tip.
Well, most, if you look at overhead views of golf courses, and most people have never seen those, but the trouble is usually reachable from the white tees where most amateurs play. So if the trouble is reachable from the white tee, you have two options. You either don't use a driver and you use something less, or you move to the back tee so that you can't reach it.
Oh, my gosh. Just go to the back, just play the back tees?
Yeah, because if it's reachable from the white and you go to the back, then you don't have to worry about getting there.
Oh, my, that's too simple.
And then, you know, the architect tells you a bunch of different things when you're standing there. And, you know, we do this in our golf schools, too. We actually have a course management section where we, you know, where we take the students out and we say, this is what the architect is showing us. Based upon how you strike the golf ball and your ball flight, these are your options. So, you know, if I'm somebody that hits a Bruce Litsky-type fade, which is about 20 yards, then I'm never going to aim down the middle of the golf course. You know, I'm going to aim down the left side. And that way, when it curves to the right, I'm still going to be in play. And when you're coming into a green, and this is another key that most golfers don't really take into consideration. If I've got a pin that's to the left, that means all the green is to the right. So I'm going to try to hit it to the middle of the green. I'm not going to hit it at the pin, because if I pull it a little bit, I've short-sighted myself. And if the pin's on the right, then I'm going to hit it to the middle, because I got more green, you know, more green to the left of the pin. Because if I aim it at the pin and slice it over there, then I've short-sighted myself again. So you got to look at where these pins are, and you always want to hit it to the biggest part of the green. That gives you the best opportunity, you know, to one or two putt. But when you hit it flags and your ball has excessive curve, or maybe it doesn't curve at all, but you just kind of pull it or push it a little bit, now you've short-sighted yourself, so par is not a given now, because you got to hit a great chip or a great pitch, and then you got to hold the putt.
So it's great advice. Go for the biggest part of the green, not for the flag.
Right.
That's great.
Well, you know, and another thing that we talk about a lot, if let's say you're a 20 handicapper, you know, and you go out, and again, the mind absorbs negatives 5 times faster than positives. So let's say I'm a 20 handicapper, and I go out and I shoot 90. And I come home, and, you know, the wife says, well, how'd you do? Oh, I shot 90. You know, that's 18 over par. That's 18 over the course's par. Your par is 92 because you're a 20 handicapper. So in reality, you're 2 under your par. Now, when you consistently start shooting 90, that's your new par level. So you have to use your handicap as your par base, because the golf course is never going to be over par. It's not going to change. Tomorrow it's not going to be 74. You know, it's 72. That's the way it was built. So by playing to our own personal pars, that's how we're going to lower our scores. Instead of trying to go from 92 to 72, which is a big road to hoe, it's much easier to play it down from 92 to whatever your next comfort level is going to be. You know, it's easy to get somebody to play under 100. It's a little more difficult under 90, a little more difficult under 80, and then, you know, when you get players that want to break, you know, 70 all the time, I mean, that's the hardest thing in the world to do.
Oh, yeah.
But majority of players can break 90 with no problem if they just do a few simple exercises, you know, as far as training drills. And again, you don't have to hit balls to do this. You just do it. You can do it in your house, and you can take it out to the range and do it out there too.
Chuck Evans, thank you so much for spending this time with us. You really gave us some great tips and great advice, and some definitely some things to think about. And I really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, Fred. And, you know, if you're ever in our area or we're doing some traveling schools, I'll give you a call and you can come out and we'll put hands on you.
Oh, and I'll bring a tape recorder. I would love to do that. That would be awesome. Thank you for
all right.
The offer.
Okay, Fred.
Hey, Chuck, safe travels, please.
All right, see ya. Thanks.
Golf Smarter now presents Nick's Picks with Kenny Nicholson, sales manager for EdwinWattsGolf.com. Kenny keeps us up to date with reviews of new products and new product development. Nick's Picks is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968.
Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Good, Fred. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, and I want to congratulate you. The program that we last did, I'm receiving more email about your segment on U.S. Kids than I have on on the content on Pinehurst. That's not true. But one of the emails said, I really enjoyed your segment on kids golf. I'm really looking forward to showing the game off to my son. He turned one last Saturday, and I got him a Fisher-Price Pooh Bear golf set. I think I got a bigger kick out of it than he did, but he does smack that little plastic ball pretty far. And that came from Ian in Canada. And then on the flip side of that, being the kid instead of being the dad, here's somebody who's entered the contest for the Callaway driver that we're giving away. It's a Callaway X460 driver. And we'll give you details in just a minute. But he said, I'd love to win this club. My father just got this driver and a set of Big Bertha irons. He and I went out golfing at the Alvimar Country Club in Lawrence, Kansas, and he got his first hole in one.
Congratulations.
He's been golfing for over 30 years and just hit a perfect shot with his new hybrid.
He's got one more than I do, I can tell you that.
And he's got one more than I do. But Patrick in Shawnee, Kansas, I just love the fact, I mean, getting a hole-in-one is one thing, but to do it with your son there, how cool is that?
Special treat.
You could share that for a lifetime. That is so awesome. Congratulations, Patrick. Speaking of that Callaway driver, somebody wants to know if the person who wins the club from these drawings, can they get them custom fit?
We can custom fit to a certain extent as long as it stays within their stock realm. If they're left-handed or right-handed, that's not an issue at all. If they want stiff or regular flex, that's not an issue at all.
What about the degree of loft?
The degree of loft is not an issue at all. I can take care of all of that. And
okay.
even in irons, if it's somebody that's shorter or taller and needs to go flat or upright or plus an inch or minus an inch or whatever they need to do, that still all stays within what I consider their stock. There's no upcharge for me on that. So the things that we give away, we can accommodate just about anything and everything. If a lady wins and needs a ladies' club, obviously we can take care of that. We have in the past. So we're fairly flexible as far as that goes. We just want to make everybody happy.
Well, now I want to bring up another point then, that this weekend I went to my local retailer, since there is no Edwin Watts Golf where I live. I'm on the West Coast.
Well, you know you can go to EdwinWattsGolf.com.
But I can't swing a club, and that's why I went to this retailer, not to spend money, but I wanted to get fitted for a driver. You and I have talked about this. You've made fun of me more than once, so I'm going to do something about this. And I told the guy, I've shopped there before. As a matter of fact, the last driver I bought 6 years ago, my Hawkeye Big Bertha, I bought it from these guys. And I walked in and I said, I need to get fitted for a club. And they went, yeah, sure, no problem. So he gave me a stick and said, here, swing this. And I swung, and he goes, okay, you swing 80 miles an hour. I said, whoa, I just took a practice swing. You want me to take a real swing? He goes, yeah. And he looked at the stick. There was something in the stick that told him what the speed
shaft was going. Yeah, what right. You're talking about.
Okay. I swung it again. He goes, okay, you're 100 miles an hour, so you're a stiff flex. And what do you usually hit? I said, I usually hit a 10.5 degree. And he goes, okay, so you need a stiff flex, 10.5 degree. Now, here's the drivers that we have.
Yeah, if you're serious about a driver, anybody, the only way to really gauge, if you can get on a launch monitor somehow, they
That's
have demo
amazing.
Days that come in your areas and what have you, a launch monitor will tell you, you can do them in stores and hit into a net. You don't have to see ball flight because the computer's going to tell you what the spin rate is, what the miles per hour is, what the launch angle is, and those three factors are all you need to know to get fitted for the perfect driver.
Interesting, you know, because I was starting to walk out, and he goes, and you know, if you want, for $30, we'll give you a half hour, we'll put you on a launch monitor. I went, wait a minute, I thought that's what I was going to do in the first, that's what I did last time I was here, you're charging me $30 for that? Well, you know, it takes our time. There was nobody in the store, and it was a Sunday. And he goes, and we have to schedule it for during the week because we're so busy on weekends. There was nobody there.
Did he offer to give you a discount or the $30 back if you bought a golf club from him or anything?
No.
I mean, to each his own. But
okay,
if you have the opportunity to get on the launch monitor, most of them will do it for no charge because they want your business, and that's to me, that's a customer service aspect.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked at that, and your reaction is telling me that I was right on that one. So to you, Mr. James... And I'm not telling you if that's your last or your first name because I know you're not listening. Screw you.
Yeah. Now, before you go out and buy a driver, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a heads up. There are a few new models that are coming out that are going to change the look of what drivers are going to look like. So I don't need to throw in a wrinkle into everything for you, but I know for a fact that Callaway and Nike have come out with a square-shaped driver that are going to launch sometime in February. Callaway's is called the FTI, as an Indigo, and the Nike is called the Sumo. And what they've done is they've increased the moment of inertia by making the face longer. What I mean by that is from heel to toe. So if you're looking at the face of the golf club, Nike's is actually, I want to say it's like 4 3/4 inches, almost 5 inches. So anytime you increase heel and toe length, what you've done is you've increased the moment of inertia, so you have less twisting at impact, and they're also deeper now. It's an odd looking club. I have not seen them in person. I've only seen them in some information that they sent me, but I'm sure that the playability is going to be phenomenal, especially for a guy that has a problem hooking or slicing the golf ball and things of that nature. You know, if you hit it out towards the toe, obviously the toe is going to open and you're going to create a little left to right spin and the ball is going to slice a little bit more. And typically, there's a very high percentage of golfers in the average, I say the medium to high handicap golfers, when they miss a shot with a driver, they usually miss it high and right. What I mean by is they usually miss it high on the toe and out towards the toe. So this is going to help in that aspect for everybody. And I think we're expecting delivery on those products either February 15th or the first part of March. So they will be available for the springtime when everybody's snow starts to melt and they get the little itch and want to get out there and start playing golf again.
And you don't think this is going to be a fad, just something that looks cool? Do you think these will have an impact on the market?
I'll be honest with you. They spend way too much money in research and development for it to be a fad. Definitely, it's going to work. They're not going to bring something to market that that does not perform better than what they had before. Typically, they don't. Now, I have on very rare occasions, seen a driver that comes out, a second-generation driver or a new driver that took the place of an older one that might not have performed as well. But that's very, very, very rare. So I presume Tom Stikes with Nike, I know personally, and the stuff that he makes, as well as Callaway's R&D team, are phenomenal. There's an awful lot of testing that goes into these products before they ever bring them to launch.
Let's spend a second to talk about the giveaway that we're doing right now for the Callaway X460 driver valued at $300. If you would like to win one, we're going to have our drawing just after Thanksgiving, so it's going to be on November 28th. The deadline for entries is November 27th. So please send an email with the subject Callaway, and you can spell it any way you want. I've seen a lot of spellings on Callaway, but send it to pickme@golfsmarterpodcast.com. Please include your name and your mailing address, not just your email, but your snail mail address, so that we know where to send it when you win. And it's anywhere in the world. Kenny has promised us that he'll send it anywhere in the world. And for information about that, please check the show notes. And you still have a week left if you're on time with this program. When you make a purchase at edwinwattsgolf.com/golfsmarter, you'll get 50. If you spend over $50, you'll receive a Premier Soft Cabretta leather glove, any size, either hand. And of course, there's always free shipping when you shop through our portal. Best way, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com, click on the Edwin Watts banner at the top of the page, and it'll send you right to our page. And if you want to talk to somebody, call 1-800-874-0146 and tell them that Golf Smarter Podcast sent you, and you will get the same nice treatment, correct?
That is correct. And also remember, you can go to our website, edwinwattsgolf.com, and always click on the Nick's Picks icon and see things that I've reviewed that we haven't talked about on the show. If you're looking for any specific product out there, there's a lot that I have reviewed, and I'll give you my personal input on what I think of the product as well.
Yeah, and thank you for doing that. And some of our listeners have emailed you, and you've gotten back to them, and they write to me saying, that is so cool that Kenny will even write to me.
Yeah, if they have a question, they send it to you, or they can go to our site and send it directly to me as well. I'll be happy to give any advice that I can.
Service with a smile.
There you go.
We aim to please. And we don't hook or slice. Our aim is true.
Straight down the middle.
There you go. Can I work with your advertising agency? I think we just came up with something here.
Fixing to go into that meeting if you'd like to join me.
Okay. Well, Kenny, you better get to work. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Fred.
And Kenny, one last thing. I wanted to wish you and the Nicholson family and the whole family of Edwin Watts Golf a very happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, and the same to you and everybody else out there.
Thanks a lot, Kenny. I received an email this week from Gary Evans of Ackworth, Georgia, who said that he's planning on doing a 3 to 4 day golf school with his wife this spring. Now, if you go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the Bird Golf Academy banner, you'll see that they offer a school at the Jekyll Island Club Hotel in Georgia. Come on, Gary. You're taking your wife, so buck up here, dude. Jekyll Island is the perfect place for your vacation golf school because it has a magnificent golf resort near the oceanfront. The hotel is a National Historic Landmark and has been named one of Travel and Leisure's 500 best hotels in the world. And Bird Golf School students enjoy the grand elegance of a luxury suite. So come on, buddy. Do it. If you're planning to do a golf school, or you'd like to do a golf school, or you're interested in a golf school, check out the Bird Golf Academy. Go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the link to birdgolf.com, and you'll see that they have schools all over the country, and for personalized service, you cannot do better than this. If you're listening to this podcast in the same week that it's been released, I want to take a moment to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving. I'm sure that we can all make a long list of things that we're grateful for, but I just want to thank you for the continued support of the Golf Smarter podcast and hope that we can spend more time together. We end with our quote of the week, which is submitted by you. If you have a favorite golf quote, send an email with the subject quote to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com. And this week's quote comes from Leon Chickering of Olympia, Washington, who, in reference to the importance of practice as it relates to improving your game, says, "The only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary." Thanks for listening to the Golf Smarter Podcast. I'm Fred Green.